This morning's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, which can be found on page 163 of the Old Testament, or of your pew Bible, if you would like to read along. By the time we get to this point in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses and the Israelites have been through a lot together. Moses was called by God to bring the Israelites out of slavery. They have crossed the Red Sea together, received the Ten Commandments, and have endured many experiences together as they have wandered the desert for 40 years. As we come to this passage this morning, Moses is coming to the end of a very lengthy speech that would make my longest sermon look like it was only 2 minutes long. And as he comes to this very end of this very lengthy speech, as they are standing on the plains of Moab, the Israelites prepare to enter the promised land. Joshua prepares to become the successor of Moses as the prophet and leader of God's people in this time. And Moses prepares for his death. And so Moses, in many ways, completes his farewell address as he speaks to the Israelites with these words, and in many ways speaks to us all here as well. And so let us listen now to the word of the Lord. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, and I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last summer, the kids and I went to visit some friends of ours. And while we were there, I ran out to the store to get some juice for all the kids who were in the house where we were staying. The kids who we were staying with were very particular about the juice that they drank. And I didn't really think much before I left and said, sure, I'll go. And I thought, apparently, that my mind was much more sharp than it actually is. And I thought I would remember the juice by just what it looked like. Then I got to the store. Do you know how many choices of juices there are? Pretty close. 4 million is pretty much spot on. My kids don't drink many juice. We get cranberry juice and orange juice, and it's whatever's on sale. But they were very particular about their juice, and it had to be a specific brand, a specific type of that brand, and that brand alone had literally 30 varieties. And they all looked exactly the same on the shelf. So, of course, this meant I had to call and start saying, I have no idea what I'm getting. There are too many choices. It was in that moment that I remembered a study that was published in the early 2000s, back when I was in seminary that talked about how consumers are now less satisfied than they have ever been before. And the reason is that there are too many choices to choose from. In the study, through different variables and different scenarios, they were able to deduce that people did like to have options. They didn't want to have just one choice. But anything over three options began to add more stress and anxiety than opportunity. With more choices, people were less confident in their decisions, began to second-guess themselves, wondering if they were missing out on something, and fearing that if they made an unwise choice, it would hurt them in some way. I knew if I chose the wrong juice, I would be tackled by several unhappy children. And this was over such things for the survey, the fear of missing out or being hurt in some way was over potato chips and salad dressings. So you can imagine how much bigger this would apply to bigger choices in life. Moses and the Israelites have been on a long journey together. They have come a long way and have made many choices along that way, and many of those choices have been less than wise. Moses began this journey in a reed basket, going down a river and being chosen by the Pharaoh's daughter to be raised away from his people. Being raised in the very house that would oppress his people for a long time. And then he was walking one day and seeing how the Israelites, the people of his blood, not the people who raised him, were being treated. Seeing how an old man was being whipped because he was not producing fast enough and hard enough. And so he killed the slave driver. And he chose to run away. Run away to the wilderness and create a new life. But he couldn't stay there for long because God has a way of finding us even when we run away. And while he was away in the wilderness trying to hide, God came in a way that I hope I never have to experience God, but in a burning bush. A bush that was burning but was never consumed. And God said to him on that holy ground, "You have to go back. You have to go back to the place you ran from. You have to go back to the people who I love. You have to go back and make things right." And so Moses felt as if he had no choice, and he went back and he tried to make excuses along the way. "I don't speak well." And he said, "That's okay. Your biological brother Aaron will go with you and he can be the voice. But you have to go back." And they went back, and through miracles and plagues and all the different things along the way, through the hand of God, liberation came. And no sooner were the people freed from the slavery that held them in place for many generations than the fear of the unknown said, "You know, slavery wasn't so bad. At least when we were in slavery, we knew what to expect in the day. We knew what food was. We knew where we could go. Let's go back there. Because the wilderness is just too scary." But God led them anyway. And he led them through the desert each day, even with their mumbling and grumbling through fear. He led them through the wilderness and the desert with a cloud to protect them from the heat of the sun by day, and a lit flame to guide them through the dark and cold of night. And God was faithful still. And they wandered together with the Lord, even through The time when Moses was in the presence of God and received the Ten Commandments, and the people got scared again and chose unwisely, and they chose in that moment of feeling abandoned and alone, even though they could hear the rumblings and hear God with Moses. They were led by fear to create their own God, a God in the image that they created in the form of a golden calf. And yet God was faithful still in these wanderings and provided manna along the way, provided water from a rock, even when Moses went about getting it unwisely. In all of these wanderings, in all of these ways along the way, they were with God. Even with all these twists and turns, they have made it to this moment, to this speech at the culmination of their journey as they prepare to enter the promised land. And in this time, Moses shares some closing thoughts of wisdom and encouragement with these people he has loved and led through all this time, even when they have driven him absolutely crazy. And in this ending part of the speech, he reminds them of what they need to decide today before they can continue this last part of the journey moving forward. Moses says in verse 15, "I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity." In other words, Moses has reminded the Israelites of where they have been when they have tried to do it on their own, and where they have been when they have walked with the Lord. When they have done it on their own, they have been in slavery with golden calves and in pain and sorrow. When they have walked with the Lord, they have been liberated, had a cloud to block the heat of the sun by day and a flame to light the way at night and keep them warm at night. And they have had manna with provided food, enough food for each and every day. And so Moses is calling for the Israelites to make a choice, as he says in verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days." Choose life. Choose to walk with the Lord. Choose following the Lord's commandments and walk in his ways. It sounds so beautiful. It sounds like it should be a no-brainer. It sounds like everyone there should all rise up and walk in the way of the Lord. But as we look at the track record of the people there, we know that the choice isn't as easy as it has sounded. Choosing God and choosing to live life in the Lord sounds beautiful, and it may be what the Israelites long to do. And yet, it would not be easy. This speech is coming at a time when the call to choose to follow God means choosing to follow into the unknown once again. Follow the Lord by following a new leader who isn't even named yet, into a land which others inhabit. It means trusting that the Lord will show up once again and care for them, and not needing to be in control all the time. It means choosing to love the God who chose to love us first. What Moses is reminding the Israelites in this moment is what Moses is reminding all of us here today. God chooses us and loves us first. But we have responsibilities and choices in return. What we do matters. As an Old Testament professor named Patricia K. Tull, who teaches at one of our Presbyterian seminaries, says, "Despite their abuse and diminishment, the words 'choose life' offer inspiration and hope. They imply that though buffeted about by so much lying beyond our control, in the chance circumstances of the universe and the decisions of powerful governments and corporations, we humans do actually have a say in things that matter to us. We can change our future. If not the details of that future, at least its fundamental tone and direction. No matter what else is going on around us, no matter how narrow the straits, this passage implies that every moment we still have two roads diverging before us. If we can but perceive them. As we choose our own actions and allegiances, these decisions over a lifetime define the distinctiveness of our path. The encouragement to choose life reminds us that we do have options. In fact, we doubtless possess more control of our own and our society's outcomes than we might perceive. We make choices. We make choices every day, multiple times a day. We make choices that can further the peace, unity, and love of God in this world, or we can make choices that can further the divides of selfishness, greed, and hate. We have the power to choose. And with each choice, we draw closer to God and further from the ways of the world, or closer to the ways of the world and further from our God. The choice is ours. And the good news for us is that the mercies are new each morning. But we still have to choose. As Moses addressed the Israelites on the plains of Moab, knowing that he would not enter the promised land with these people, who he had wandered all this way with, he gave this speech with heart and purpose. He knew that they had all been what they had all been through, and he knew that he loved the Lord and he loved these people. He knew how he wanted them to choose, as he said with great enthusiasm, "Choose life." Moses wanted everyone who had made this journey to know that God had chosen them and that it is a love that is to be reciprocated and shared with others. That love is rich and enriching, life-giving along the way and fulfilling in making us able to love one another in fruitful ways. But Moses also knew that it was a choice, and the choice for others was not up to him to make. But he longed for them to choose the one who chose them. Friends, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the image of your Creator God. And God chose you while you were still in your mother's womb. And Moses is calling to you in this passage to choose life in the Lord today as well. Choose life in the Lord each morning as you choose the path that leads to life and life abundant in the Lord. Choose life in the Lord as you choose the paths that lead to loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. The choice is yours to make. So choose wisely. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer. Amen.